Hello, this is Scott Tuzna here with another great audio to share with you. Nearly daily, I feel very fortunate and grateful to have just a really fun and exciting job that's just so incredibly rewarding to me. I love to hear just amazing success stories. I love to hear about how people transform their bodies and how once they transform their body and even as they're going through the transformation process, how it impacts their life and just transforms their life overall. And the first few times this happened or I heard about it, it kind of blew me away a bit, but now it almost seems like a weekly occurrence where I hear from one of my readers who went, embarked on a transformation journey, got in great shape, and along the process just kept educating themselves and became fascinated with their body, became fascinated with the information that they were consuming, and took that passion and excitement and turned it into a career in the fitness niche, or at least a part-time career, and many of them have moved on to full-time fitness careers. And today, I have a very special friend with me, a great guest on the call, Jackie from GirlWithNoName.com. And I've been connecting with Jackie for probably the past 4 years in the forums and on webcast and on Ustream videos and just chatting back and forth through email. It's been really fun following her journey and to see where she's, how she's transformed her body and how it's impacted her life. And here we're just to chat about the whole experience and what has brought her to this point where she's at today. Jackie, welcome to the call and thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Scott. That was quite the introduction. Thank you so much again.
It has been really fun. I'm sure there's been times where Angie and I will do a live Ustream broadcast and when we see Girl With No Name pop up as the username, as someone who's following our videos, we get really excited because we know how passionate, excited you are. And if we show an exercise that maybe it's an exercise you've done before, but we add a little twist to it, you get super excited and you can't wait to apply that information, apply that new little tip. You're just a serious action taker. And to me, it excites the heck of me. It makes me feel like what we do, people are really taking it in and putting it to great use. So it is always great to see you participate in our live events and just to connect with you online. So let's just talk about how this whole fitness journey began. I mean, you've been training for a little while. When did you first start working out? Did it start in the weight room, or were you a cardio bunny, or how did your whole fitness journey begin?
My whole fitness journey actually began several years ago, and I was a smoker, and I was really getting to be quite full of self-loathing. I was a slave to this little cigarette in my hand, this little cancer stick, and this was back when smoking was allowed in places like restaurants and wherever. I'd find myself walking into any given room and immediately looking for the ashtray so that I could sit by it. So I wouldn't have to reach for it while I smoked, or getting into someone's car and feeling fearful that they're not going to let me smoke in their car. How am I going to go an hour without having a cigarette? And it really just kind of, it started to really frustrate me. And one day I was running across the street to catch a light, just across the street to catch a light. And I got to the other side and I thought I was going to cough up a lung. I was huffing and puffing so hard and I thought, this has got to stop. This has got to end. I'm out of shape. I can't even breathe across a light. And I actually had a friend who was extremely in shape, and he used his body like a celebration of movement all the time. And I felt very envious of him. And that was sort of my catalyst, was using him as a bit of an inspiration that day to get the cigarettes out of my life. And I went cold turkey, and I went for a run that day. And I couldn't make it around, I made it one city block before I had to stop. And I'm not talking about around the block. I'm talking about from one corner to the next corner, and that was it. That's all I could do. But I was predetermined at that point. I made up in my mind that I wasn't someone trying to quit. I had made up in my mind that I was not a smoker anymore that day. Like that, everybody talks about mindset and how hard it is to get mindset. And yes, I've quit smoking several times in my life, and always because I should do it. It's good, better for my health. People are telling me to do it. My loved ones want me to do it, you know, whatever. And always not being able to do it because I just really didn't want to. And but this last time was, my mindset was just, I'm not an ex-smoker. I'm not a quitting smoker. I'm a non-smoker. So I'm going to be a non-smoker. So I went for a run. I made it one block. The next day I went again. I made it around the corner up the next block. 4 days later I made it around the block. And I just kept building on that and building on that and building on that until I could actually go for a run. So yes, to answer your question in sort of the long route, is that a cardio bunny to start. Because running was the thing that got me to quit smoking. And then shortly thereafter, I actually did join a gym and became a member of one of the chain gyms that's here in my city, and I started going to the gym, working out. And I never really loved the gym when back then. I'd go there because I thought I should, and I'm a fit person now, so I'm going to try and be a fit person now. And I really didn't love the gym. So I fell out of the whole working out thing quite a bit for a long, long time because I just didn't dig the vibe in the gym. And so I continued to be a runner. And then, you know, life has this way of twisting things around on me or on everybody sometimes. And I fell out of that for a couple of years as well and gained just kind of a lot of weight. And just life sort of, I felt like life had taken over on me, and it overwhelmed me, and I gained a bunch of weight. And I didn't go back to smoking. I've always been a non-smoker ever since that day. I decided I was a non-smoker, but sort of fell away from really being mindful of being in shape. And that's when I sort of discovered you and all the rest of you guys out there, and started realizing that I didn't need to go to a gym to be in shape. I could get in shape at home. And one of my biggest sort of aha moments was discovering you and seeing you in one of your videos with all your two little tykes running around beside you, right, running around while you're working out and showing the rest of the world on your videos how you can work out at home. And everything just went bing in my head at that moment. And I started stocking up on dumbbells and other sort of minor fitness equipment. I mean, you really don't need much to work out at home, but I stocked up on a few things so that I could sort of get started and do this at home, because I knew that if I was going to have to go to a gym, it probably wasn't going to happen. So that's sort of how I got started. Sorry, that's the long version of the short answer.
No, that's fantastic. And I remember those early days and seeing you in one of our support communities, I mean, the Fit Chick support community. You always back and forth and commenting on the videos. Now, at first, in the beginning, were you just kind of searching around looking for a few free home workout videos on YouTube and things like that and just kind of applying some of that? Or did you dive into, like, once you started realizing you wanted to work out home?
Yeah, I had just turned 40. I was recently turned 40. And I knew I was going on a trip to Hawaii with my mom in a few months. And it was a big deal because it was going to be a big deal for her, and I was taking her sort of in a big way. And it was going to be a great mother-daughter trip, but I didn't want to be seen in a bikini because I just wasn't in that kind of shape at all. So I kind of dove in, but I didn't really dive in with any direction, so I didn't really have any. So I started getting really, really active in the online communities and sort of paying attention to YouTube and watching videos. And, you know, you said that you know, whenever you're demonstrating something, I'll be someone who wants to apply it. Well, yeah, usually what I'll do is, my computer is facing out into the living room, I'll get down on the living room floor while I'm watching you and try doing it right then and there. I don't wait to apply it. I sit down and go, okay, how does this work now? But again, no real direction, because you can't really get a whole lot of direction without a program that's structured. So I actually went and got myself a very popular program that's out there by Mike Geary, The Truth About Six-Pack Abs, and the things that he had in that book just changed my life.
Was that the first book that you got?
Yeah, that was the first book that I picked up.
And wow, pretty smart, wise investment for the first choice there.
it was, you know, because I had just turned 40, and I've never seen my abs before. I've been in shape, in some kind of semblance of shape in my past, but never been able to see my abs. And that was the goal I set out for myself, was that's it. This is the goal. I want to see a six-pack on this body before I go to Hawaii. And I'll tell you, I didn't quite make it to the six-pack before I went to Hawaii, but it happened pretty shortly thereafter. But it was the title of his book that attracted me, because that was my goal. I wanted to get a six-pack abs.
Truth about abs. Now, what resonated with you about that book? What were some of the things that kind of really jumped out at you, the aha stuff? Well, you're an action taker to begin with. Once you start reading a book, you start applying it. But what really hit, was there something about it that really hit home with you? Or
Yeah, there were two things. There were two really big things. Mike has this very persuasive way of writing about nutrition. And some of the things that he had to say scared the living hell out of me, about mass-produced foods and the things that we put in our body on a daily basis that we that food manufacturers have the nerve to call food. This is a 100% true story. I was sitting in front of my computer one day, or one evening, and I was reading an article by Mike, and it was about how margarine was made. And I'd always been a margarine eater because I believed it to be more heart healthy. And I got up out of my chair and walked to the fridge in the middle of reading this article. I didn't even finish reading it. I got up in the middle of reading the article, out of my chair, walked to the fridge, picked up a brand new huge tub of margarine and threw it out. And I've never touched it since. So the things he has to say about nutrition really, really resonated with me. I mean, true what they say, you can't out-train a bad diet. You can work out to your heart's content until you're a big puddle of sweat on the floor. But if you've got your nutrition wrong, you aren't going to get as lean as you want to get, because you have to work out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make up for the crap that people consume, you know?
And even that's not a healthy thing to do, just continually abusing your body, working out.
Yeah, and then the other thing that resonated with me, too, was the isolation versus full-body compound move thing. Once I started doing things like deadlifts and squats and got, you know, kind of put bicep curls in their place, concentration curls are great for building your biceps, if that's all you want to do. But if you want to burn fat, you better start doing some full-body compound moves. You better start doing a lot of them. And so I changed that in my workout routines, and everything just started changing like mad. Nutrition and that kind of working out, things just started to change like crazy.
Right. Pretty amazing. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people get or first inquire about the Truth About Abs book. They open it up, they're probably expecting to see a whole bunch of abs exercises, but it's really quite the opposite. So there are abs exercises, but it's like focusing exactly like you said, squats, deadlifts, a lot of different compound movements, and focusing on the whole big picture. Now, what was your nutrition like prior to this, and like how did it kind of change?
It was starve all day, and have a big meal at the end of the day, lots and lots of pasta and carbs. It was eat really lightly all week and then pig out all day long on Sunday. I was a bit more of a party animal back in those days, so I drank a lot. I had my fits and starts with eating healthier, but my weight had gone up and down a few times throughout my life by doing things like eating nothing but plain popcorn for dinner. Really not the healthiest thing to do. Really not. But, I mean, the weight came off, but it didn't stay off because it didn't have it down. You can't live like that. You can't live your whole life eating popcorn for dinner every single day. So, you know, the adherence isn't going to stick if you don't have it right. So,
And was this another like big mindset shift, much like the smoking, where you just decide, all right, I am a non-smoker right now? Once you started reading Mike's information and consuming it and seeing how much it hit home with you there, did you have a shift in mindset there as well?
Well, like I said, the way he writes and the things he has to say scared the hell out of me. So it was a huge mind shift, because I was afraid of mass-produced foods after I got kind of intimate with his information. I don't want to put that garbage in my body. My body doesn't know what to do with that garbage. So I went from someone who, you know, craved McDonald's to someone who's like, I don't care if it tastes good. It scares me. I don't want it. I don't want to be lying in a hospital bed in 20 years because I've been continuously dumping garbage into my body. You know, I don't want to be overweight. I don't want to be weaving across a streetlight or whatever just because it's going to taste good for 10 minutes. Who cares? You know, let's go see what's healthy in the fridge, you know, instead. So,
it
yeah,
still tastes
fun.
Good, too.
Like, well, I mean, in your people say, well, you know what, I don't like the taste of vegetables or, you know, whatever. Well, learn to like them. You'll learn to like them. You will. Your body adjusts. Yeah, okay, maybe I didn't like broccoli at first either, but I do now. I think it's very tasty stuff. And there's lots of healthy ways to cook and eat whole natural foods that taste fantastic. So there's really no excuse, the whole, no, I could never do it, I love food too much. I think that's complete BS.
Exactly. And I think that's a pretty common experience where you just, there's some foods that are healthy for you that don't taste very good in the beginning. And then it blows me away how those end up being the foods that you crave and enjoy even more.
I look forward to mangoes now.
Yeah.
I look forward to chocolate bars, but I look forward to mangoes now and peaches. And, you know, it's not a chocolate bar, but it doesn't need to be. I don't need it anymore.
Right. Angie and I got a question on our blog recently about asking us, do we ever eat foods just for pleasure? And, I mean, we eat food for pleasure every single day. It's just the foods that we are really healthy for you. It bring a lot of joy and a great pleasure to me. I love the healthy foods that we eat. I can't wait to have my healthy meals every single day. It's an amazing experience.
One of my newest addictions is my cottage cheese oatmeal pancakes. People go, ooh. It's like, try it. Don't ooh me. Try it.
Right.
It might sound terrible, but it's delicious.
Right.
So.
Very cool. Now, who else? What kind of other fitness experts have you been following? Who are some of the original crew? So you're following Angie and I on our videos, and you got Mike's Truth About Abs program. Who else were you following in the mix in the beginning?
Well, the second book I picked up was Tom Venuto's Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. And, you know, I sort of absorbed Mike's, and it was like, okay, next step, how can I get even more stronger, and how can I get even more leaner? And, you know, so I absorbed that one next and found a lot of really great stuff in that one as well that just really helped me out with other workout techniques as well besides, you know, just full-body compound moves and super circuits and that kind of thing. Tom's got a lot of great stuff in there as well. And then I started finding some inspiration from personalities like Zach Evanesh. Now, he's an underground strength coach, and he's not necessarily the way I do train, because he's all about tire flipping and, you know, rock throwing and heavy rocks and sandbags and stuff like that. And that's great for a lot of people. I mean, I'm in a small apartment here, so I don't have a whole lot of opportunity to hang a rope and climb a rope and throw rocks. But his attitude is so, it's no whiners, shut up and do it, don't give me any excuses, I don't want to hear you whining, if you want it, you'll take it, go take it. And his attitude was just like, this was so attracted to that I just really started following him in a really big way as well, just because of his attitude. It was an attitude that I was beginning to adopt for myself, because the more fit I would get, the more I could have my friends asking me how I was doing it. And so I started to tell them, and the first words out of their mouth in response would be some kind of excuses, like, oh, I love food too much, or oh, I don't have time to get, you know, in shape, or, you know, whatever. It's just like, oh, God, I don't want to hear any excuses. Just, if you want it, go take it. Shut up. Stop making excuses. So that's why I was so attracted to Zach, that I got that from him.
It's contagious. His enthusiasm. Yeah. He's just on fire. I love it. Love watching his videos. It fires me up every single time. And
totally fires me up. Makes me want to go work out just watching that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not into the tire flipper or anything like that as well, but, yeah, watching him on video flipping tires and hearing the excitement and push, go harder, test your limits. I mean, I'll take that energy and bring it into the gym or into my home gym downstairs and just fire out an amazing workout. Just feeding off the energy that he has.
Yeah. I mean, I run an online fitness coaching program now and it basically says right in the very beginning of the page, no whiners. If you want it, you can take it and I'll help you get there. It's fine if you're a beginner, but if you're a whiner, I can't work with you because it's a waste of time, everybody's time to try and get somewhere with someone who really doesn't want it. just wants to make excuses and find that magic pill when there really isn't a magic pill. Hard work and dedication.
But it's got to be, I mean, with your experience with smoking as well, I find that weight loss is a lot the same where, you hear it from people, we want you to live longer, we want you to be healthier, and you kind of try it a few times and fall off the wagon. But when the time is right, when you have a moment like you did with your friend there or yourself running across the street and you're like, holy smokes, I can't take this anymore, then the timing's right. So there's a lot of whiners and people out there, but sometimes they're just not ready. It's not the.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You got to want it, and you got to be committed to getting it. So it's where the mind shifts. You know, it's that one thing.
No,
your mind shifts when you want it.
Well, you're obviously following a lot of people online then and now, and you're following people on Twitter, Facebook, reading their newsletters and all that stuff. Did you ever feel overwhelmed or when you saw conflicting information? How did you process all of that stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely overwhelmed. There's an absolute ton of people back when I first started, but I had to decide for myself what worked for me and what didn't work for me as I went. The things that made sense to me, I mean, a lot of it was logic as well, you know. So, I mean, there are people that are totally just into raw food and raw food only, and that doesn't work for me. And vegetarianism doesn't work for me either. I enjoy meat. I believe meat. I believe meat is a healthy protein, lean meat, grass-fed meat, organic meat. But so I don't subscribe to the vegetarianism sort of mindset or the raw food thing. This doesn't work for me the way I enjoy food. So.
Mm-hmm. That's an important take-home message. Even just listening to your whole experience, you're finding the people who resonate most with you, and finding programs that resonate with you. And some people, you might not even follow their programs, but you just like following people because they're putting out some great information and you're feeding off their energy. And then others you're following because you there's some people you like their work better than others. And that's really what it's all about, finding what resonates the best with you, having fun in the process. And just, to me, it's like being just true to yourself rather than focusing on the latest and greatest. The latest and greatest might not be what's best for you. You're finding the programs and information that suits your lifestyle, your beliefs, and it just resonates the best with you, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, and there's other things too. Other people will be like, oh, there's no way I can do that. I mean, one of the people that I follow still is Brad Pilon of Eat Stop Eat, and he promotes intermittent fasting as a way to keep your calorie counts low and keep, you know, lose weight. And a lot of people, oh no, you're going to lose muscle and you're going to starve yourself and your metabolism will fail and all this stuff. But for me, if I have a big event coming and I know there's going to be too many calories consumed, and I do want to just let my hair down one day and just go for it, I find that his solutions are the solutions for me. So I don't do it every day, but I do it, you know. So it's just all about finding what works for you and how does it work for you. Like, how can you make it work for you if it's something that you think you can make, you know, that will help you. So, you know, I've abandoned some things and I've kept other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never thought that I would ever be able to fast because I'm someone who typically, like, after 4 hours, I start feeling lightheaded. I have to have something to eat. And when I followed a program recently that had fasting as a part of it, my wife was just about to kill me because she's like, Scott, I'm going to be picking you up off the floor and I'm going to kill you if you're in bed all day and you can't do anything around here. She was really, I said, okay, don't worry. If I'm that fatigued and lethargic, I'll eat and I'll forget about fasting ever again. But I made it more than a 24 hours. It's like a 36-hour fast. I was like, holy crap. I never thought I could go 4 or 5 hours, and here I did a full 36-hour fast. And
yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought I'd be lightheaded, and it's true. I am lightheaded if I sit there staring at the clock wishing I could eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But if I stay busy, and I am busy, I have a busy day in front of me, and I don't really have time to eat anyway, it keeps my mind off of it, and I find that the lightheadedness – will come, but it will pass also. It just kind of floats right past you, and it just becomes this thing in the back of your mind now. It's not this big, it's not this big deal in front of you anymore. It's just this little thing in the back of your head that you can live with, you know,
mm-hmm.
so.
Now, when you really kick things off there with the Truth About Abs program, you're looking at like a structured plan, and a structured plan helped you out. Now, you and I were talking recently, and you're adding a lot of different variety at times. So what exactly is your training like? Are you still spending most of your time training at home? Are you running still? What's going on? What's your workouts like?
Yeah, I train usually 6 days a week, and I only really have an hour a day to get it done. So I will do cardio one day. I do cardio Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and I do strength training on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I do mix it up a little bit now. I used to write very, very structured programs for myself, but then I got a little bored of doing the same thing over and over and over again. So now when we talked a few days ago, I know I said that I didn't really, you know, I just decide what didn't I do last time and do it this time. So I still have my sort of set repertoire of exercises that I want to get done in a week. I just don't do the same thing every single time I exercise now. So on my cardio days, I will mix it up. I'll either do an endurance run on the seawall. I live in Vancouver, so I live near Stanley Park Seawall. I'll either do an endurance run just where you don't stop or stall or whatever. You just run until you're done. And or I'll do interval training, like 30-second sprints with 30-second walks. Or I'll do hill sprints. If the weather is really, really just inclement and horrible, or if it's been snowing forever, like it was a couple of years ago and I couldn't get on the seawall because it was too slippery and crunchy, I live in a high rise. I'll climb the stairwells in my building. I'll just climb all the way up 20 floors, take the elevator down, climb up 20 floors, take the elevator down, and do that 8 times. It takes about 45 minutes, and it's a really good burn. So I always mix up everything throughout the week, and then when I do the strength training stuff, I usually do full body, so I'll do a couple of things for chest and on Monday, and on the Wednesday, if I haven't done push-ups, I'll do push-ups on the Wednesday, as opposed to what I've done on the Monday. So I'm still doing the sort of a semi-structured plan, but it's a bit more variety, so I can keep things interesting for myself. I also work with kettlebells once in a while, just because I took a kettlebell class just to see what it was all about, and they're a great little tool, and you can do them in your living room as long as you don't go near any glass doors and throw them or drop them. So I've got a couple of kettlebells here now too, so it's fun to try and practice the hard moves with those as well.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah,
that's outstanding. So what kind of goals are you aiming for right now? Do you have any kind of fitness goals, any strength goals? What do you got going on when you're working
out?
Yeah,
knee and pull-ups.
Yeah?
Knee and pull-ups are my nemesis and my best friend. I always have a goal to be able to do more pull-ups than I can do now. And I'm getting there. I started off with being able to do one tiny chin-up on my brother's kid's jungle gym. And kind of the first time I thought, I wonder if I can do a pull-up, wound up doing one chin-up and thinking, wow, this really engages my entire, my entire body. I can feel my core engage. Everything just felt like it just woke right up when I did it. So I immediately started making plans to get a pull-up bar installed in my apartment, which I did get done probably about 2 weeks after that. And I've been working on them ever since. So I now can do 3 sets now, and I usually can get 7 out in the first set, and I can get about 5 out in the second set, and I can get 4 out in the third set. So I want to get 3 sets of 10 out. That's what I really want. And I've got the proper pull-up stance as well, like with your palms facing away and your hands far apart. So it's not chin-ups anymore. It's actually pull-ups. And I've always got speed gains as a goal for my running, always. That's always, always, always. And I find that interval training actually does get you pretty strong pretty fast. So interval training does help me get, increase my speeds. But that's always a goal as well. And then physically looking in the mirror right now, I've got, I'd like to see a bit more definition in my arms. So I've been working the heck out of my arms and my shoulders lately just to try and get a bit more muscular tone there.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, one more fitness question here. it was a little while ago. I remember following your blog and watching your videos, and you had dropped a weight on your foot or something, and you were debating. I think you went out for a run one day, and then you had to take a day off or so. How do you handle setbacks? How do you overcome it? When other people would just throw in the towel. What do you do?
Well, at the risk of getting my finger, your finger wagged in my face, I'll tell you that I ignore them. I ignore setbacks. I don't care. Nothing's going to stop me. I've got my goals. I want to get this stuff done. And I did. I dropped the 35-pound weight, plate on my foot when I was working out with a workout buddy, and I was at a commercial gym, and I dropped a 35-pound plate on my foot. And this is now at least a couple of months ago, and I still have the bruise. It's not very pronounced, but it's there. And it doesn't hurt like it used to. It hurt pretty good for the first little while, but it really only hurt when I had put pressure on it. So I could still run. To not run, because when it didn't hurt to run, would have just been such an excuse. And I just don't subscribe to the excuse theory. So yeah, I broke my finger about a year and a half ago. And I found that it hurt to bend the finger, but I could still hold weights because the other fingers could support it, so I ignored it and just kept working out. So
yep,
that's what I do. Once I have setbacks, I just ignore them.
Definitely things. It's almost been a year since I broke my toe, and it still kills me. Even like when I'm doing lunges, when I have to bend the toe a lot, and sometimes when I jog or run, it'll affect me. But yeah, if I had waited till it completely healed and I didn't feel any pain, I don't know when the next time would be I'd ever work out again. And when you sit and still, I mean, there's some injuries I have needed to nurse a bit, but I find ways to work around it anyways.
Well, that's the thing, too. Let's say for argument's sake, if I broke a leg, would I stop? No, I wouldn't. I would do upper body workouts and I'd work the good leg.
Right.
You know, or if I broke my arm, I'd do lower body workouts and I'd work my good arm. You know, I wouldn't stop. It would be ridiculous to let everything else go to heck just because one part of me's got a boo-boo.
Right. Yeah. And the one thing is when you're working those other parts, you're getting your blood pumping and there's fresh blood that's pumping to the injured area, and it'll actually help it heal faster.
Yeah.
Now,
that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Very cool. Like I said, it's been very exciting watching your journey from trainee to trainer. And it seemed to start coming together when you were always in the forums, like I said, and on Twitter and talking with everybody. But then you started recording videos, just sharing your thoughts, sharing a few tips here and there, and just telling everybody what you were up to. And then you created your site, girlwithnoname.com, started posting those videos there and interacting with people, and now you're a personal trainer and coaching people to get in great shape as well. What's this whole experience been like for you? Like, how has fitness impacted your entire life?
Well, I mean, you're right. I started the site more or less on a bit of a lark. I had a friend convince me that I would be good at video blogging, so I thought, oh, you know, what the heck, let's see if I can do it. And I used the girl with no name thing to protect my anonymity. And I, you know, I was all very shy about the whole thing, but it didn't take very long for me to start getting feedback from people who were discovering me and telling me how inspirational I was to them. And if I can do it, they can do it. And if they ever feel like they don't want to work out, they just come to my blog and hang out with me. I mean, I don't even know they're doing it because I'm not actually there. It's just a video of me. But they feel like they can come there and hang out with me and get some inspiration and get some off their butt and get some out the door to get a workout in. And now that I've been doing it for a couple of years, the amount of feedback that I've gotten has just filled me up inside, because I had no idea that I could be an inspirational personality to people just by doing what I do, which is basically for me. You know, so now I don't just do it for me anymore. I do it because people tell me that, you know, I'll get emails from people saying, I lost 20 pounds, and guess why? Because of you. And I've never heard of this person before. They've just been watching me in silence. And it amazes me. It always makes me feel completely honored and humbled to hear from people like that. And I always respond to, you know, and to anybody out there who's feeling, you know, has ever watched me and found inspiration from me, like, thank you for letting me know, and it's my pleasure, you know. I'm so glad that I was able to inspire you to experience what I experienced and to get what I got, you know, which is a better body and a better life.
Right.
You know?
It's pretty mind-blowing, and that's what so many people don't realize, that when they begin living and continue living an active and healthy lifestyle, their actions really are inspiring many other people, even if those people don't directly tell them all the time. I mean, we're living an active lifestyle. You are a role model for so many people out there. And even you might get the snarky comments like, why are you eating that rabbit food? Or, I don't know, all the other crap that some people will say out there. But, I mean, there's so many other people that really admire your lifestyle, and you're influencing them. So I just, and it's great when you're able to step outside of that comfort zone and put yourself out there, where not only are you inspiring your own little personal inner circle, but inspiring people all around the world. I mean, I just think there's nothing greater than impacting people's lives. It's just so incredibly rewarding. It makes our time here on this planet just so fulfilled.
Yeah, I mean, if we're not put here to help other people, what are we here for? You know, so it is very, very rewarding, very, very rewarding for sure.
Outstanding. Jackie, this has been so much fun talking with you tonight and having you share your journey and your experiences with my listeners here at the Fat Loss Quickie blog. And I highly recommend that people go and check out your site, your blog, girlwithnoname.com. Watch your videos, see the content you're dishing out, the no-excuse attitude, and just get that daily dose of motivation and inspiration, and just see how Jackie's absorbing the information out there and taking action. Just, that's the one thing I really want you to take out of this call, is the action, the immediate inspired action that Jackie takes whenever she absorbs information. She immediately puts it into practice and sees how her body and health respond to it. So go visit Jackie's site, girlwithnoname.com. Chat it up with her. Let her know how you enjoyed this call. And, go transform your body and have an amazing experience, an amazing life yourself, and start inspiring other people around you. Jackie, again, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. I actually had a lot of fun as well, and I'm very honored to be a guest here on your blog as well. So thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Outstanding. We'll have to get you on another call and see what you're up to soon.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Awesome. Take care, Jackie. All right. And everyone, I hope you enjoyed the audio. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.